Postcard from Spain with Vernon Pierce.
In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about a subject which a lot of people come to Spain to enjoy, apart from the sun. When it comes to drink, the first thing you probably think about is Spanish wines, and your first thought again will probably be red Riojas. The Spanish have been well known to lovers of wines worldwide for years as a reliable source of good value red wines. However, white wines are now made all over Spain. Wine is part of the culture here. Spain is the third largest producer of wine in the world, the largest two being France and Italy. There are more than 50 wine regions in Spain. Better known are the quality reds from Rioja and Ribera del Duero, reds and whites from Penedès and Rueda, sherries from Jerez, and a fine sparkling wine known as Cava, which we would call Spanish Champagne, which is a lot cheaper than the French variety. Until about 25 years ago, Spanish red wines were generally of mediocre quality. Many were aged too long in wood, overpowering their freshness and fruit character. However, quality has risen now to the point that they compete successfully in the international market. Very high-quality Spanish wines have recently become trendy in some circles. Spain has a similar classification system to France and Italy, with all classified wine regions regulated under the Denominación de Origen, the DO system. Red wines are often labelled as Crianza, Reserva or Gran Reserva. In Rioja and Ribera del Duero, Crianza wines are 2 years old, with at least 12 months spent in a cask. Elsewhere, the oak ageing may legally be restricted to just 6 months. Reservas are 3 years old, at least 1 year in a cask, and Gran Reservas 5 years old, two in the cask and three in the bottle. I would say that your palate will tell you which of these three ages that you should be drinking. When we first came here, we thought it was cool to drink Reservas, but they became too dry for my palate, so we now often plumped for the Crianza or younger wines. Whilst the principal table wines are the Riojas and Valdepeñas, named after the regions in which they're produced, in general, Rioja, from the region around Logroño in the northeast of the country, resembles the French Bordeaux, though it's less delicate. Valdepeñas is a rougher wine, but pleasant and hearty. It'll be found at its best in the region where it's grown, midway between Madrid and Cordoba. The Jerez area is famous for its sherry. Jerez is the place from which this wine was first exported to Britain, which now buys 75% of all Spain's sherry exports. There are four main types of sherry, being fino, which is pale and dry, amontillado, dry and richer in body and darker, oloroso, medium, fragrant and golden, and dulce, which is sweet. In the Basque country, txakoli is a favourite green wine, slightly sparkling and sour. The majority of Spanish sparkling wines are sweet and fruity, and even the inexpensive supermarket wines have an important place in the wine culture. For example, my wife and I regularly drink wine which costs 2 or 3 euros from our local supermarket. And when you're in a restaurant, don't expect to pay more than, say, 6 to 10 euros for a bottle of house wine. To the uninitiated, many people think of Spain just as a nation of wine drinkers, but recent figures show it's emerging as one of the world's most prolific consumers of beer. There are several large breweries within Spain producing the light lager-like beers, which are popular everywhere. What better way to cool down in the heat of summer than a nice cold beer while relaxing at home or on a terrace somewhere in the village or the town or alongside the beach? An idea that prompted a recent report from a consumer group who went out to find the best value for money beer. Here are the top 10 beer drinking countries in the world, as published by the Kirin Brewing Company. The results, shown in liters per capita, may come as a surprise. Top of the list is the Czech Republic at 184 liters per head, followed by Austria at nearly 99 liters, Lithuania 96 liters, Romania, 96 litres, Poland at 94, Estonia, 91, Germany at 90, and then Spain at 88.5. Surprisingly, Spain comes in at 8th place, just behind Germany. The UK, despite its reputation around the world for beer drinkers, comes way down the list in 25th place. Now, would you believe that? Moving on now to food, Spain, of course, is famous for its paella and for tapas, but also is famed all over the world for its Iberico ham. And it might interest you to know that each Spaniard eats on average a whopping 5 kilograms of cured ham every year. But a long and detailed method is followed to produce the high-quality jamón that Spain is known for. Spanish cured ham has been a delicacy since the Roman times and was traditionally made in mountainous regions in the southwest. Families would breed and fatten their own pigs domestically, and just one pig was often enough to last the household for a year. Each year, all the family members participated in the matanza sacrifice, sometime during the first few weeks of November. After the legs were packed in sea salt and hung to dry in the cool winter air, the rest of the carcass was used to make sausages. The most expensive ham, jamón ibérico de bellota, comes from the black ibérico pig, which is fed a diet of acorns or bellotas, and reared on fresh mountain air until it reaches the optimum weight and is taken to be sacrificed. Iberico pigs can eat up to 10 kilos of acorns a day, so they're normally much fatter than normal pigs. This allows the meat to be cured for longer, usually between 2 to 4 years, and the result is a more intense flavour that's unparalleled in the ham world. The acorn diet also gives the premium ham its renowned nutty taste. Well, finally, in this podcast about food and drink, I'd like to talk about the famous Menú del Día, sometimes called Franco's tourist menu. And in some regions of Spain, restaurants are still required to offer a Menú del Día. This, and the fact that the phenomenon is so widespread in Spain, is thanks to the former dictator Francisco Franco. Amid the tourist boom of the 1960s, his regime introduced the Menú del Día. Spain grew from 2.9 million visitors in 1959 to 11.1 million in 1965. One of Franco's measures to attract large-scale cheap tourism was the creation of the daily menu in 1964. The millions of tourists who visited Spain every year would be presented with Spanish culinary standards and an affordable meal, and an affordable meal would be within reach of all Spaniards. From August that year, all eateries were obliged to offer a Menú del Día consisting of a starter, soup or salad, a main course of fish, meat or eggs with a side dish, a dessert with fruit, sweets or cheese, bread, and a quarter litre of local wine, beer, sangria or other drink. For people with long working days split by a two-hour lunch period, eating a daily menu in a neighbouring bar was a godsend. However, not everyone was happy with the introduction of the daily menu. Restaurants discouraged their guests from ordering the cheap menus by claiming that they were of lower quality than the other dishes on the menu. However, the rules required that the menu be displayed in a prominent place and served with the utmost preference and promptness. You still see the Menú del Día clearly announced on signs in front of restaurants. Additional rules were introduced in 1965, which meant that tourists were obliged to compose the tourist menu with dishes from the regular menu. There was also a maximum price depending on the category in which a restaurant was classified. Based on an EU directive in 2006, tourism laws in Spain were revised, and many Spanish regions thus abolished the obligation of the daily menu, and many catering establishments stopped offering it. Another reason for the fact that the daily menu is offered less often is that working life in Spain has changed. More and more companies are significantly shorting the traditional long lunch breaks of sometimes more than 2 hours. They realise that an hour is long enough for lunch. Moreover, they adapt their working hours to international customers and relations. There's also increasing opposition because of the intrusion that such long working hours have on the combination of work and family. Moreover, an increasingly smaller percentage of Spaniards have a full-time job, or any job for that matter. Unions estimate that 33% of jobs created since 2012 are temporary, with many part-time. Nevertheless, as a tourist, or as residents here, we enjoy the Menú del Día, which enables us to eat out much more often than we would in the UK. The prices since we first moved here have risen from about 10 euros a head to now more like 18, maybe 20 to 22. Nevertheless, it still represents great value for money, with three courses and in some cases a glass of wine or glass of beer thrown in.